Page 68. We are on Perek Tetzvov, Pasuk 16. The Dart of Yeshuvenu. Okay, we're middle of. Where are you going? This is the woman's section.
What?
Here.
Well, I saw you, I saw.
Okay. We're learning in Brisbane, Absalom. Hashem promised, or Hashem gave Avraham Avinu the two options. Either Golos or Gehenim. Avraham Avinu, according to one opinion, picked Golos. Another, exile, another opinion says he picked Gehenim. Hashem said, no, you want to pick Golos. Okay, because Golos is temporary and then you're done with it and so on. So, Hashem took all the, Avraham Avinu took the animals, cut them in half, and Hashem walked through in this, with the, we didn't learn yet. Okay, the last pasuk we learned was pasuk Tezvov, pasuk 15, that Hashem promised Avraham Avinu he's going to die peacefully. Old age, peaceful, because the Medrash says Avraham Avinu asked Hashem, if my kids are going to go into exile, do I have to go into exile also? Hashem said, no, your kids are going to exile, but you are going to die ripe old age. Even Esav wasn't wicked yet. Yishmael did tshuva. Everything is good. Okay. Now the pasuk says like this. V'dorevi yeshuveinu. The fourth generation is going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Right now Hashem is talking to Avraham Avinu in Israel, right? Then he says, okay, your kids are going to go into exile. Then Hashem said, but the fourth generation is going to come back. Now there's a whole bunch of different opinions. Who are the form? Who are the three generations? Some say Yehuda, Peretz, Chetzrein, and Kalev, who came back to Eretz Yisrael. Some say, from Kohos, and then it's, Kohos, Amram, Moshe, and the fourth generation would be the children of Moshe. But Hashem says to Moshe, to Avraham Avinu, you're going to be driven out of the land, you're going to be in exile in Israel, you're going to stay there for four generations, and then you're going to come back. Everybody's going to come back to Israel. Why? Because the sin of the nation of Amori, which was the general nation of all the seven nations of Canaan, they will not be complete sins, meaning I won't be able to punish them until they finish sinning. And they're going to finish sinning by the fourth generation from your descendants going into Israel. Okay, so therefore, the Ramban says another interpretation over here what it means. In the Aseret HaDibros, in Ten Commandments, it says, Hashem remembers the sin of the wicked people, Oven avais al bonim, bnei bonim, al shileshim v'al ribayim. Hashem says, I'm going to keep, for wicked people, the sins of four generations. Okay? Let me explain this a little bit. There's a contradiction. One place it says that a child will die for the father's sins. And another pasuk says a child will not die in the because of the father's sins. So, Rashi in his commentary on the Medrash says, what does it mean? It means very simple. If the children follow in the footsteps of the father, then the sin, in evil ways, then the sin is going to carry over four generations. If the person will not sin like the father, then lo yom so ave sabonim. Fathers don't die for children, children don't die for each bechata yumat, each person will die with their own sin. But that's only when you don't follow in the footsteps of the father. So the Ramban over here explained, what fourth generation are we talking about? Not the fourth generation of Yaakov's family, that the fourth generation is going to come back to live in Israel. What it means is, the sins of the Amori is going to be punished for four generations, and after four generations, they'll be finished punished, and then the Jews will come back to Israel. Okay, okay, don't forget this is towards evening time. The sun was setting. and it was very, very dark. Okay, remember last time we touched upon it, but here's the way the pasuk is. All prophets except Moshe Rabbeinu got the prophecy at night, when the soul left the body. Their body wasn't as great like Moshe to have the prophecy while they're in the body. Only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do that. So it says it was the sunset, v'alata hoya, and it was a very, very dark spell. Vinei tanur esh v'lapid, tanur oshem v'lapid esh. There was a smoky furnace and a torch of fire. Asher avar bein agzonim ha'ele, that walked between these two pieces. Remember, this is called bris bein apsodim. Why is it called bris bein apsodim? Because Avraham Avinu cut the animals in half. And like we learned last week, how do you make a covenant years ago? They would take something, cut it in half, and the people would walk in between. That like bound the two parties together. Here the pasuk says, what happened? A smoky furnace and a torch of fire walked between the parts. Who would that refer to? Hashem. Because Avraham is not making a covenant with Hashem. Hashem is making the covenant with Avram. So there's no purpose of Avram walking through the pieces because he's not making the covenant. Who's making the covenant with Avram? Hashem is making the covenant with Avram. So how did Hashem, so to speak, reveal himself? Through a smoking furnace and a torch of fire. Because, like we know, by the burning bush, how does Hashem reveal himself? Through fire. That's how God always revealed himself. Eliyahu and Har Carmel, a fire came down onto the altar. And why, by the way, it's interesting. Why is fire symbolic of God? Because everything in the world is composed of the four elements. Fire, air, earth, and water. The four basic elements. Fire is made only out of two elements. So it's much more refined than the rest of creation. In addition to that, fire always goes upward. We learned already many times, Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, Ner Hashem Nishma Sodom. The candle of God is the soul of man. We know, God forbid, somebody passes away, yard side, whatever it is, you always light candles. Now what do candles have to do with a soul? So Tanya Dal Rebbe explains very simple. What's the concept of a candle? The flame of the candle always goes upward. Now, scientifically, the reason for that is because gas is lighter than air, so therefore it goes up and it floats. That's the simple scientific reason. According to Torah, there's a different reason. Why does fire always go up? So the Rambam writes that the source of fire is under the rotation of the moon. Source of fire is under the rotation of the moon. Therefore, the Rambam says, everything by nature wants to go back to its source. Everything wants to go back to its source. Where does fire source? Under the moon. So therefore, the fire and the candle, no matter any direction you turn it, the flame is going to go up. So it's not only because it's lighter than air, but because it actually goes back to the source. A candle also flickers. Why does a candle flicker? So we know, because it wants to get out of the wick. It wants to leave the wick. That's why it flickers. It's constantly, the second it has an excuse to get out of there, he'll do it. Now, the question is, why should the flame want to do that? Because, what's interesting, the flame, while it's on the candle, is something. It exists. When the flame leaves the candle, it doesn't exist anymore. So what is the purpose of a flame wanting to leave the wick, if through that it's not going to become, it's not existent anymore? So the Alter Rebbe uses a very interesting expression. That's its nature, and nature cannot be questioned. Why it's your nature? This is the way God made it. So what is the concept of a flame? A flame is constantly flickering, to go away from the fuel and become back to its source. What is the soul in the body? The neshama in the body is also flickering. You ever see a person shakes when they daven, when they learn, they shake subconsciously. Why do they shake? It's brought down in Svarim. Because the neshama, learning, davening, is seeing godliness. So the soul wants to get out of the body. It actually wants to get out of it. And therefore the neshama flickers to go back to its source, which is God. So therefore, why is the neshama called the fire of God? Because the neshama in godliness have a lot in common, meaning it's refined. It's refined. It has its nature to go out of its body, to go back to its source. The neshama of a Jew has a desire to go back to the source. So therefore, this explains why Hashem always reveals himself in fire, like by the burning bush and Elion Har Carmel and all those other play times, because God is fire, because it's the concept of flickering out of the body to go back to God. So therefore, what walked? How did God, so to speak, walk between the two parts that he's making the covenant with Avram? Avram, then the Mepharshim say, the commentary say, Avram didn't have to go. 68. Avram didn't have to go because he wasn't the one that made the covenant. Hashem made the covenant. And therefore Hashem walked. Vayemahu on that day, as the Pasuk itself says here, Kodesh Hashem es Avram bris lema, Hashem made a covenant with Rabban. It doesn't say Avram made a covenant with Hashem. Hashem made a covenant with Avram. Lema to say, what was the covenant? L'zaracha etei nesati esar etzizit. I already gave, and it's interesting. It doesn't say, I will give. Hashem says to Avram, I already gave it to you. It's yours. L'zaracha nesati esar etzizit already says, gave it to them. Okay? And Rashi adds one more concept, which is very interesting. Because I say I'm going to do something, I might do it, I might not do it. Yeah? So I can't say it's done already. By Hashem, it's considered done. Because by Hashem, past, present, and future is the same. When Hashem says he's going to do something, it's done already. So therefore, Hashem is saying over here, Nesati, it's all, it says, Ace, I gave this land, Minai Mitzrayim, Adonar, Golden, Nahar, Peros. Now he's saying the boundaries of Egypt, the boundaries of Israel, of the great river, which is the Euphrates. And now he's going to say 10 nations that he gave to the Jews. And we're going to discuss this interestingly. Cainy, these are just names of nations. Cainy, Knezi, Kadmeni, Chiti, Prizi, Rephaim, Ameri, Knani, Gergoshi, and Yebusi. Okay, so you have here like this. 10 nations are mentioned. Huh? 10 nations are mentioned. 7 they conquered when they went into Israel. The 3 later on in Chumash Bamidbar, the Pasuk says, "Im Yarchiv Hashem," about the 6 cities of refuge. So the Torah says, "Im Yarchiv Hashem Elokechaz Gvulcha," when God will broaden your boundaries like He promised you, I'm going to give you of more. 3 countries, Cainy, Knezi, and Kadmeini. So then you'll make another 3 cities of refuge. Then you'll have 9 cities of refuge. Now there's 6. When Mashiach comes, there's going to be 9. Okay? So, why didn't God give all 10 to Israel then? And that we need to wait until the coming of Mashiach. What's the concept of the 7 nations we got right away? You have a Chumash? Why is it that the 7 nations were given right away and the 3 additional ones are after Mashiach comes? So Chassidus explains very, Kabbalah Chassidus explains very interestingly. The 7 nations of Canaan represent the 7 evil emotional traits that exist. Just like you have in Kedusha, Chesed, Gevura, Teferet, the 7 Midos that we speak about in Sefirot HaEmor, each one composed of 7. In evil, you also have 7 evil Midos. But not Kedusha, they're evil. Now, The seven nations of Canaan, says in Kabbalah Chassidus, will correspond with the seven bad attributes of godliness. Not the holy ones, the evil ones. Bad chesed, bad gvura. Just to give you a brief example, Avram Avinu personified chesed. His son, Yishmael, is called in Kabbalah chesed of evil. Yotze mimene Yishmael. Yishmael left him. Yishmael represents kindness of evil. Avram represented kindness of kedusha, of holiness. Yitzchak represents Yishmael represents the chesed of evil. Yitzchak represents gvura, severity of kedusha. His child, Esav, represented gvura of evil. So just like you have seven levels of kedusha, you have seven levels of evil. Until Mashiach comes, let's go back. So what happens when the Jews conquered the land of Israel? Not only did they physically conquer the land, it was actually the conquering of the seven evil attributes in the world. The intellectual level, the three, the Chochma, Bina, and Das of evil, that is a much stronger power, because it's higher, intellect is higher than feelings, than emotions. So therefore, because intellect is much more powerful in evil, the Jews, until Mashiach comes, didn't have the ability to refine and break and elevate the evil of the ten, only seven. Mashiach comes in much greater kedusha in the world, much greater holiness. So then we're going to conquer those three nations also.
Who are those three nations?
They're called Keni. Oh, you what they are? I'll tell you who they are. Some of them Edom, Moab, and Ammon. Other people say it's Arabia, Shalamate, Nabatean, Damascus region, Asia Minor, Apamea. Asia Minor, Thrace, and Kazakh. There's no different opinions what physically the those three nations are.
They don't exist right now.
They exist with different names. The land exists. It's not the out of the world. It's in the world.
But the other seven don't exist anymore.
The seven nations of Canaan were conquered by the Jews.
They're what?
They were conquered by the Jews at that time.
But right now,
but this explains, one second, this explains, let's go off a little bit, because this is a phenomenal concept. The whole story with the spies, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu sends spies, they come back negative, all that mess that they caused. So, if you look in the Chumash, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, bugged God, send spies. The people want, send spies, okay? So Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, Shlach lecha anashim, you send men. Hashem said to him, do it on your own, you can do it. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm not telling you to do it. You want to do it? Do it. I'm not telling you to do it. Okay? The question is, so why did Moshe Rabbeinu do it? Just think how great Moshe Rabbeinu was. Hashem said, listen, I'm not interested in doing it. You want to do it? Go do it, but I'm not interested. So why in the world did Moshe Rabbeinu do it? Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't kill us what the Jews complained. They're complaining the whole 40 years in the desert. Another complaint is not going to make it different. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu give in to the Jews' complaint that they want to send spies when Hashem tells explicitly to Moshe Rabbeinu, I am not interested in sending spies, you send spies. Then we have another interesting story about spies, which is the Haftorah of that parsha of spies, which is from the book of Yeshua. Yeshua sent two spies, Kalev and Pinchas, to check out the city of Yericho. To check out the city of Jericho. Okay? And they came back very positive. We could do it, no problem. They're afraid of us. It's not a problem. What's the difference between the first group of spies and the second group of spies? Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you want to do it, do it. I'm not telling you to do it. But Moshe Rabbeinu did it anyway. Yeshua, obviously Hashem told him to send the spies. What's the difference? So, to take a few minutes, because it's a very basic concept. We have a godly soul and an animal soul. Okay? The godly soul is composed of 10 parts, 3 levels of intellect, 7 emotional levels, all of Kedusha, holiness. The evil soul, the animal soul, also has, like we said, the 10 levels, intellect and 7 emotional levels. Now, in Tanya, in great length, the Alter Rebbe explains that there is a person called Beinoni and there's a person called Tzaddik. Beinoni and Tzaddik. Tzaddik. Ever hear of him? Never heard of that. I know, but now, so it says a Beinoni, every person could be a Beinoni. But to be a tzaddik, you got to be born a tzaddik. Like I says in the Gemara, Barasa tzaddikim, Barasa Hashem, Eev said to God, you created tzaddikim, you created wicked people. It doesn't mean wicked people. So, to make it short and sweet, the 7 emotional powers of a Jew, to conquer them, that instead of loving world, evil, you love God. Instead of fearing evil, you fear God. Instead of having beauty and glory in evil, you do it to God. Not every Jew is born with that ability to transform love. In other words, like this. A Beinoni, that every person could be a Beinoni, is not a person that only loves God. A Beinoni is a person who never sins, ever, ever sin, not in thought, speech, or action. He doesn't sin. But he doesn't love God to the extent that he transforms the evil love to love of God. He just breaks his nature. Okay? He wants to sin. The Beinoni says, I'm not sinning. God doesn't want me to sin. I'm not sinning. The mind controls the heart. The heart desires. The mind comes along and says, you know what? Don't do it. It's not good for you. So the Beinoni, which by the way, every person could be a Beinoni, because Hashem gave us all of mitzvahs. The Beinoni is a person that doesn't ever sin, but he does not transform the evil inclination to holiness. Okay? So even though you can't, therefore you have to be born a tzaddik to be able to transform your evil, not your behavior, not thought, speech, and action. Thought, speech, and action, everybody can control. But to create a feeling that instead of loving world, I only love God, that you gotta be born with that ability. Not everybody can be born that. Nevertheless, Hashem says, try it. Try to be a tzaddik. Maybe if you try hard enough, God will give you the soul of another tzaddik into your body, and maybe something will happen. Yeah? So therefore it says like this. Can we do it? Probably not. But we have to try to do it. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to the Jews about the 7 nations. The 7 nations is the 7 powers of evil to transform them to Kedusha. God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I can't command the Jews to conquer. God conquered it for them. But you want to spend spies? You want to send spies? You want to do it? God says, I can't guarantee every Jew doing it. A few select tzaddiks, you know, tzaddikim, that are able to do it, could do it. But the masses can't do it. So God says, I can't send spies to Israel because that means the 7 midos, the 7 emotional traits, would have to be transformed. I can't tell you to do that because I can't command you to do something you're not necessarily able to do. Yet, why did Moshe Rabbeinu send? Because it says, we have to try. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, let's try. We'll be successful. We're not going to be successful. It's okay. We're not supposed to be successful. Yericho, Jericho, where Yeshua sent the spies, it says in Chassidus, Reach is smell, it refers to thought, speech, and action. Thought, speech, and action. That, every Jew can control. We don't want to. But every Jew can control thought, speech, and action. How? And Dr. Eben Tanya says a few words which is profound. He says, Mayach shalit al halev b'teva tuldosin. By nature of a human being, the nature of a human being is that the mind can control the heart. If you know it's wrong, we all know. We do things, it's wrong, we know it's wrong, we do it anyway. Yeah, we all do that. But I'm saying a person technically has the ability, and the mind says it's wrong, then even though you desire to do it, the mind can say don't do it, and you don't do it. That is why Yeshua sent the spies to Yericho, because Yericho represents thought, speech, and action. That you could do. That God says that you should send, because that you can conquer. But the essence of the animal soul, that you can't do. But even then, they were only able to conquer the seven emotional attributes of the seven nations. The three intellectual ones, Keni, Knezi, and Kadmeini, that even then they couldn't do until Mashiach comes. What?
I'm just thinking right now that all the sins that has ever been was not from the intellectual, it was from emotion.
Sure. Well, there is intellectual evil.
Right.
And you know, by the way, beside Keni and Knezi and Kadmeini, which represent the intellectual level, the nation of Amalek, the evil nation that God said you have to destroy and eradicate and get rid of it, it says in the Medrash about Amalek, what was unique evil of Amalek? Yodea es ribono, it knew its master, means it understood God, u'machavenin limreid bay, and it intended to rebel against him. Amalek is the worst of all nations, because Amalek is the intellect of evil. And that's much stronger than the emotions. Intellect is stronger than emotions. So therefore, there is a concept of evil, and therefore the Torah says, you have to erase the nation of Amalek. You have to erase it, you have to eradicate it, you have to get rid of it. Why? Because that's the worst evil. Because it knows God and rebels against Him. And this explains another point, and then we'll get back to the insights. Amalek, Ayin Mem Lamed Kuf, Amalek, is the same numerical value as the word Safek, which means doubt. Samach Pei Kuf equals 240. Amalek equals 240. So it says, what is the unique evil of Amalek? It casts doubts. Just like the Medrash says, and Rashi brings it, what was so unique about Amalek? The Jews came out of Egypt, a boiling hot bath. Everybody's afraid to jump into it, they're going to get burnt. Came one crazy person, jumps into it, he gets burnt, but psychologically he cools it off for everybody else. Yeah? That's the evil of Amalek. What does Amalek do? Casts a doubt. Doubt is intellectual. Amalek doesn't come to a Jew and say, go worship idols. You know the Jew will throw him out. He doesn't go by that. He doesn't do that. When Amalek comes, he says to the Jew, cool it. Take it easy. It's not that important. You can do it later. You can do it tomorrow. You don't have to do it. Cool it. Take it easy. Asher karcha baderech. The Medrash says doesn't only mean they met you on the way. Kar is cold. Karcha baderech. The Amalek evil is to cool down the Jew, which casts a doubt. What is doubts? Doubts is the intellectual level. And that's what Amalek is all about. Or the same thing, Keni Knezi and Kadmeini. Okay. finish with this. Okay. So by the way, so when Mashiach comes, the boundaries of Israel are going to be much, much bigger and greater than they are now. Not only, huh?
Better.
What?
With all of those Jewish people, it's better to have a baby.
So it's probably the countries around it. Like
Yeah. But the land, the Torah calls Eretz Yisrael Eretz Tzvi, the land of the deer. The Gemara says the stomach of the deer just stretches. So the land of Israel, the more people you have, it just stretches. No problem of land. Now they made underground cemeteries now under Har Menuchis. In here? Yeah, they just made, there's a ton, 30,000 more graves they made underneath Har Menuchis, because there's no more room. So they made under Harman, they dug it out, the Israelis dug it out, and they made, it's written all over there.
What does that mean spiritually?
What does it mean spiritually?
Yeah.
I don't know, that people should stop dying. I don't know, but whatever. Okay, next parak. Parak to Zion Pasikalov. Vesare Eshes Avram. And Sarai, the wife of Avram, she's still called Sarai, Loyalda law didn't give birth any children to Avram Avinu. But law Shivcha Mitzris, and she had this Egyptian maidservant, her name was Hagar. Now it's interesting, Rashi doesn't say who the grandfather was, but Rashi says from the Gemara and the Medrash, that Hagar was the daughter of Pare, the king of Egypt. And after the story with Avram, when he went out, he went down to Egypt and he came out with all that money. So the king of Egypt said to them, take my daughter. It's better for her to be a maidservant in the house of Avraham than a princess in my castle. He understood how great Avram Avinu was. I just saw today also, it says that she was the granddaughter of Nimrod. How, I don't know, but it says she was Pari's daughter and the granddaughter of Nimrod. So she came from not great royal blood, but very royal blood. Nimrod was a strong man and Pari. So it says like this. She bore no children. Okay, so it says like this. She had this maidservant. What?
Sorry.
What? I didn't know what you said, but anyway.
She be okay with leaving her palace or wherever she was to go to be a maidservant?
She was. She happened to be a very holy woman, by the way. Why?
Their tribe right now has nothing to do with holiness.
No, but we'll see.
I shall have you to her. I shall have you to her. She was the one.
Yeah, she had prophecy. We'll see later, even when she made problems for Sarah, that Sarah threw out of the house, she meant well with it. Similar to Penina and Hannah, and after the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Penina, not the word made fun, but she made problems for Hannah, that Chana should daven. And therefore Hashem answered her prayer because she davened. Now what got her to daven like that? Because Penina made problems for her. And the same thing the Mepharshim say, Hagar made problems for Sarah to say to Avram, I want kids. And eventually, as we know, she had a kid. Okay. Her name was Hagar. So, Batayimah Sarai al Avram, Sarai said to Avram like this. Hinei notzarani Hashem miledes. God held me back from giving birth. Okay? I don't have the capacity of giving birth like a regular woman. Bein Noel Shivchasi, please come to my maidservant, meaning marry her. Ulai Ibana Mimena, maybe I can build a child through her. In other words, because she was a maidservant, so if she has a kid, it's counted as Sarai's kid. Vayishma Avram lekol Sarai, and Avram listened to the voice of Sarai. Okay? Now, what does it mean, Ibana? It's interesting. She said, maybe Bona literally means building. But it also, the Mepharshim say, also refers to the concept of Ben, a kid. Okay? Ben is the root of the word Ibana, to build. Okay? Because through the child, they built up everything. It's a building block of the family. So this is what she said to Avram. Okay, now, why did Sarah do this? Sarai do it. She said to Avram like this. God promised you kids. He didn't say it was going to be through me. When Hashem told him now, before, right? We learned. Hashem said, you're going to have kids only from Yitzchok. So Hashem promised Avram Avinu is going to have kids. He never promised Sarah that she's going to have kids. And Sarai thought, okay, so the problem is me. So if I can't have kids, and she says, I don't even think if I marry somebody else I can have a kid either. Because the way Rashi said at the beginning is remarkable. At the beginning of Parshas Noach, it says, Sarai akara ein lo velad. So Rashi quotes over there from the Medrash, because it's a double expression. See, she was barren, ein lo velad, she had no child. That's redundant. So Rashi says, no, from the Medrash. Sarai Akara, she was barren. Not only was she barren, Ein Lo Velad, she didn't even have a womb to be able to have a child. So obviously, Sarai, in a way of nature, without a womb, you can't have a baby. I mean, no matter what you're going to do, it's not going to happen. Right? So, Sarai said to Avram, listen, Hashem promised you kids. Me, doesn't look like I'm going to have kids. She was already 90 years old, almost 90. And she said, go marry Hagar. Maybe I'll have a son and it'll be considered mine. So, Vayishma Avram called Sarai. He listened to his wife. Don't find that too often. One second. Why does it say, Vayishma Avram lekol Sarai? The Ramban asked to answer the question. Why it should say, Vayaskein, he did it. She said, go marry Hagar. And the Pasuk said, he did it, Vayaskein. Why does it say, Vayishma Avram lekol Sarai? Avram only did it because Sarai told him to do it. She got a prophecy from Hashem. Okay? He did it because of Sarah's wishes. She had a prophecy. And therefore it said, Vayishma Avram lekol Sarai, to the voice of Sarai, meaning the prophecy of what Sarai told him to do.
So if Sarah didn't let...
She came up with the idea.
I know, but imagine if she never let that happen. Then we wouldn't have this tribe.
Yeah, it's all her fault.
All her fault.
It's always the women's fault. You got it. If Adam and Eve didn't sin, what would be?
So no, I'm saying God wanted that to happen.
100%. In fact, they bring down, the Malbim says, it was God's plan that Ishmael be born before Yitzchak, and that he be born to Hagar rather than Sarah. Like silver, he gives us, from which all impurities are removed, before it's brought to its ultimate use. All but the holiest, most spiritual forces have to be moved from Avram before he can beget Yitzchak. Meaning, Avram had to get rid of that evil within him, which was Yishmael, as a preparation to have a holy son, Yitzchak.
What was the different ages between Ishmael and
13 years. Yitzchak had his bris when he was 8 days old. Yishmael had his bris when he was 13. That's why the Arabs do it today at 13. What? What?
That he wanted to get the evil out of him before he would have
Yitzchak. So he had a Yishmael with Hagar.
Why would he want to have what was the evil?
Yishmael was, until at the end of his life, he repented. But Yishmael, generally speaking, like we said before, is the level of kindness of evil. Evil kindness. By the way, just for the record, I mentioned this many times. There's an Ibn Ezra in the end of Pashas Toldos. Now, everybody thinks that the Arabs come from Yishmael. The Ibn Ezra, at the end of Pashas Toldos, says clearly that the Arabs today don't come from Yishmael. Now, do people agree, disagree, whatever? But at the end of Pashas told us, the Ibn Ezra writes, that the Arabs today don't come from Yishmael. Wherever. Well, that's after Sancheriv came and mixed up the world. So all the nations are mixed. What?
Going to the end of Nachal. Is it so that Yishmael could have made better choices? It says here we have 12.
The end of Lech Lecha? Yeah.
12 princes?
Yeah. Just like the Jews.
What does that mean? Like, does that mean that if he would have made better choices, he would have been, respectable?
You can't ask a question. If this didn't happen and something else happened, how would the world look at that time? Then go back to Adam and Chava. If they didn't sin, we wouldn't have to work for a living, and we wouldn't have childbearing, and it would be easy to raise kids, and there would be no problems. I mean, come on.
Isn't there also like a concept?
But one thing is clear, though. Everything of this that's happening is because Hashem wanted it to happen. Neir Alila Bnei Adam, the Medrash says, Hashem wanted the Itzadas to happen. Hashem wanted the flood to happen. Hashem wanted, that's part of the master plan of the world.
Can you compare it to like Esau, when he gets his brachas, that he would be like in charge of this world, so to speak, right? Versus...
Well, he's the power in the world.
But, so I guess my question is, can you compare it to that, like to Esau, like in other words, Yishmael
would have the power.
So is that
but of evil?
Is that a good thing or it's not?
It's power of evil that has to. If there's no evil in the world, we learned this many times. If there's no evil in the world, there's no good. Right? Good can only exist when there's evil, then you can have good and bad. In other words, there's a means and an end to the means. I'm sorry. There's a means to the end, and there's the end. Okay? Good is the tachlis. Good is the end result. That's what Hashem wants. But in order for good to be good, you need opportunity to do bad. Because if you can only do good, then when you do good, you're programmed to do good. It's like a malach. So then it's worthless, right? So in order for good to be good, Hashem had to create evil. Now, does he want evil? No. He only wants evil, meaning it's like the real will. I'll give you a simple example. People want to work, right? But that's external will. What's the real will? I need to make money. I need to have money to live, right? Now, in order to make money, I have to work. So therefore, I want to work. Do I really want? Is that my ultimate goal, work? No. My ultimate goal is to make money. So in order to make money, I need to work. So therefore, I want to work. Okay? Hashem's ultimate goal is good. But in order for good to be good, there has to be opportunity to do bad. So Hashem made bad. He wants bad because he made bad. But that's not what ultimately what his purpose of wanting is. It's the external will that in order for good to be good, I need to do bad. What?
Why doesn't it sound like that, though? Like, when you read this here, it sounds very nice. It sounds
what?
Like,
you'll have like 12 princes, and you'll be a great nation. Like, it sounds like a nice thing.
Yeah, because in order for evil and Kedusha to be equal, they have to be equal. To have free choice between good and bad, yeah, they have to be equal. There's 10 powers of the godly soul, right? There's 10 powers of the animal soul. Why? Because it needs to be equal. The Jews had 12 tribes, Yishmael had 12 tribes. That there should be equality. And one's good and one's bad. But there has to be this equality. It sounds good. It sounds very good, but the problem is it's evil.
How do you know it's
evil? Yishmael?
Well, because if you read this, you don't know. You know what I'm saying?
We know at the end, but the uniqueness is at the end, Yishmael did tshuva. And therefore, eventually, Avraham Avinu had died peacefully because Yishmael actually did tshuva.
But if
you learn that, like, we're not getting there today, but I mean, it's the next period. Yishmael made problems for Yitzchak when they were kids. He tortured him. He tormented him. Why do you think Hagar threw Yishmael? I mean, why do you think Sarah threw Hagar out of the house with Yishmael? She said, this kid is making my kid problems. So she threw him out. Avraham Avinu didn't want to do it. He said, let me treat him out of him. Let me try to bring him closer. And Sarah said, no, it's not working. It's not happening. And Hashem said to Avraham, listen to Sarah. She's right. But did they eventually come back? Yeah, they came back. Yeah.
But you know, when you are hearing this, so at the end, is that you know that God also wants bad. He wants it.
I told you he wants bad. If he didn't want bad, but is that what he really wants? That's the external will.
I understand he wants it, so he knows what you are choosing.
Everybody wants to work. But what's the purpose of it? Not the work. To make money. So you have, of course Hashem wants bad. God created evil. You know, right after Yishtabach, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Yetzer Er, God formed light. Ubeda Cheshech, He created darkness. Eiseh Shalom, He made Shalom, peace. And he created everything. That's a misquote, okay, from a pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk in Yeshaya says, Yetzer, he formed light, Berde Cheshech, he created darkness, Eise Sholem, Uberde Ra, and God created evil. That's what the pasuk says in Yeshaya. God created evil. Now, we don't say it in Davening because we don't want to say that thing. So we changed it. The commentary, I mean, the Anshul Knesset Gedol changed it to Eisa Shon Ve'Eisa Kol. But Lepel, of course, God created evil.
So in order to create it, you must know it.
He knows it. But he doesn't know it.
We cannot. Between
me and you off the record, even though it's on tape and video and everything, all of us know evil pretty well. We're pretty acquainted with it. And good, we're not so acquainted with it. So what are you saying? Yes. We all know evil.
So he is the one that wants.
Now it's God's fault.
No, I'm not saying it's his fault.
I tell you, the fundamental Jewish belief is God wants evil. And therefore, Lahavdal Elif Abdullah, okay? The Christians say God is good, and therefore good does not make bad. And therefore there's Satan that does the bad. So there's God and there's Satan, right? God is the good guy, and Satan is the bad guy, and that's the two separate entities. Torah says, but that 100% not like that. God is one God. There's no Satan. I mean, there's Satan, but it's a whole different concept, yeah? God is God. God is good. God is the essence of good. And therefore, evil, realistically speaking, is good. Because in order for good to be good, you need evil. So in essence, evil is good when you don't do it. You can't say evil is good, therefore I'm going to do evil because it's good. You understand? Evil is created by God. God created evil. He created evil. Just like he created darkness. Why did he do it though? Not because he wants evil as an end by itself. It's a means for good to be good. And therefore, that's what God did. No, I mean, this is fundamental stuff, by the way. Hello. This is fundamental stuff. I mean, because that's the whole concept of the good and evil in the world. Now, we, as Jews, unlike the Goyim, have 7 mitzvahs of good and bad that they have to deal with. We have 613 mitzvahs of good and bad. So our role is, and it was, the problem of that is, God tells us clearly what's good and what's bad. Okay, and yet we play games with it. I know it's wrong, I'm doing it anyway. Okay, so that is the way God gives us the ability and opportunity to make the good good and get the bad out of the picture. When we do a sin, a negative commandment, like you eat something that you shouldn't be eating, that strengthens the evil. Because God said, don't eat it. If you don't, God says, don't eat it, it's automatically evil. If it's evil and you feed it by eating it, as a Jew, for a goy, there's nothing wrong eating it. Nothing, absolutely nothing wrong. For a Jew who eats it, is actually giving power and might and vitality to evil. That's our job. God says, this is good, this is bad, and I'm telling you, look, the pasuk says, I give you today life and death, choose life, I'm giving you good and bad, choose good. Right? God says, I'm telling you exactly what's good and bad. I'm telling you guys, your job as Jews is 613 mitzvahs. Okay.